Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first chat show of 2021. Happy New Year to everybody. Please stay safe in these very turbulent times. Today, we're going to talk about questions, because questions makes the world go round. When you ask questions, you draw things out of people, you find out information that you didn't know, but also questions make people like you. I was just reading this Harvard Business School article which said you can build rapport by asking people questions. So first, I thought I'd show you my three most favorite questions, and I put them on the flip chart. So if you want to take a picture of that and you can see it, please do. Number one, when I'm negotiating and people are being difficult, I say, I'm curious where you're coming from. I'm curious what you're trying to achieve here. Curious is a fantastic word. I learned that from my neurolinguistics. It's a fabulous word, and you can't really upset anyone by being curious on their position. My second word is wondering. I was wondering where you're coming from. I'm wondering what you're trying to achieve here. Again, I can't upset anybody by wondering. And the third one is thinking. I worked at Soho branch in the middle of London, a rough area. It was the red light district, and I was the second manager at a bank there. And the bank manager, the boss, a guy called Don Hooper, always used to send out thought letters. And it used to say to the customer, I thought you'd like to know that you're £100 overdrawn. And he said to me, Derek, you can never upset anybody by sending them out a thought letter or thinking about something. So I've been thinking about where you're coming from and what you are trying to achieve. So they're my three, and I thought I'd just put them on the flip chart and stand up and just mention them to you. The other points I just want to make before I bring in Esther in, who, as you know, is a BBC producer, was that in this Harvard article, it said asking questions will improve our emotional intelligence. And we were talking about our radar, our sensory acuity, our emotional intelligence beforehand. Questions that the other person likes to answer build rapport. So think about questions that they might like to answer first. And there's a direct link between questions and liking. And we've talked about the work of Robert Cialdini before. Number one in Cialdini's psychology of influences, does the person like you or not? And as we know, you'll never persuade someone who doesn't like you. So if you don't make that energy, put that energy in to getting the person to like you, then you're wasting your time, aren't you? So, and the other thing is, if you're going to ask a difficult question, don't forget to lower your voice tone and talk quietly. It's much easier to ask a difficult question with a soft voice tonality. Perhaps move your head like cats and dogs do as they ask difficult questions, etc. So today I really wanted to explore questions from every angle. And that's why I've invited again Esther Stanhope, was a BBC producer, produced a number of radio shows, a number of TV programs, to join us, because I'm interested in the questions that get asked on the radio and on the TV to draw people out. Welcome, Esther. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hello, happy new year. Thank you for having me, Derek. And I have a quick question for you. How are you? How are you feeling right now, Derek?
How am I feeling? I'm feeling absolutely fantastic, running the 82nd chat show since the 23rd of March with a lot of my friends and a lot of people that I've got to know over the last 9 months really well. So that's one of the most fantastic things that have come out of this horrible situation that we're in.
And well, that's brilliant, and you've done a fantastic job. Well done. Let's give Derek a round of applause. If we're on gallery view, and you can see everyone clapping on gallery view, I'm going to ask you a question. Thank you so much. If you're watching live, then you can take part live and ask any questions that you want to ask today. Anything goes, okay? So you can use the chat function to ask questions. But also, I will be asking you when we go into the breakout sessions later, what is your favorite question? What's your favorite question to ask? And what is your favorite question to answer? And also, what is your worst question? What is your pet hate? So, for example, if somebody says to you, tell me about yourself. Do you love or hate that question? Now, I know Will Kintish is a networking expert and he's one of my gurus. And I know what he likes to ask. Who, what, why, where, when? Or, you know, he likes to ask the open-ended questions. But when it comes to questions, I have been in the business of questions, having been a live BBC producer for many years. And also before I worked at the BBC, my very first job, I was an entertainment reporter. And I had to interview Hollywood stars. You know, I like to name drop, but I had to interview people like George Clooney, Madonna, the Spice Girls. I remember interviewing the Backstreet Boys when they weren't famous. And I had no idea what they were. But the point here is I had to go with my microphone because it was a radio. I was creating entertainment news for radio shows all around the UK and abroad. And so I had to gather sound bites. And the only way I could gather sound bites was Will Kintish and Derek were like this. I had to shut up. So I would have a clean... Will, please, you're allowed to put your microphone up if you want to comment.
No, he's not.
Will Kintish won't believe this, but I actually had to not have myself in the broadcast. Do you believe that, Will? No, he's shaking his head. But what I had to do was get sound bites that were clean sound bites. And it's really interesting because I haven't worked in the broadcasting industry for a number of years since I've run my own business. However, since COVID-19 and since we've been Zooming and on Teams and, you know, WebJam and WebEx and Cisco systems, etc., I have been broadcasting again and using all of the broadcasting techniques. So to get a sound bite, I had to ask questions and then I had to have at least 8 seconds of clean audio, right? So if you want some good audio, you've got to get people talking. And when I was quite clumsy at first, I didn't really know how to get people talking. And you, when you watch the news, you see journalists ask the question, how do you feel? Now, when I asked you, Derek, how do you feel? You were like, I feel fantastic. This is my 80-second show. I got quite a good answer. But quite often when you see journalists ask questions, they go, so tell me what happened. If you ask a factual question, you will get a factual answer. If you ask a feeling question, and it's a bit naff to ask, how do you feel? But you probably will get a better answer. But there are other ways of asking, how do you feel? So you were saying, Derek, earlier, I'm thinking this. Well, actually, just what do you think about, or what do you, quite a good one is just really casually, you know, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts? Just, you want to get people's reaction, feeling, thoughts, and emotional response to something rather than a factual response. So I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on 2021? What do you think is going to happen? Now, that question is quite, and if I give you a few clues as to how to answer, like, do you think we're going to be locked down for more than 2 months? That's a closed question. However, I've got you thinking about a theme. So the reason why we did this whole show is because we were laughing about, how do you feel? How do you feel about it? So I would love, please write in the chat. I would love to know right now, and that anything goes, and there's no right or wrong answer because it's a thinking or a feeling question. So I'd like you to write in the chat now, how do you feel now? How do you feel about 2021? Are you optimistic? Are you worried? Are you ecstatic? Are you excited? How do you feel about 2021? And write in the chat box, and we are going to, and Derek is going to look at your responses in a moment.
Esther, what I noticed there was you asked a very open question and then you led the response. You helped the people think it through their brains. And as you know, I'm mad crazy on sport. And when the sports interviewers interview people after a match, they lead them into what they want, even though they then ask a closed question like, how did you feel when you scored that goal or something like that?
I like that. What if somebody says here about, I like asking people on a scale of 1 to 10. Amy, You like asking people, is this a question? On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? I love that. So you can go, I'm 6 and a quarter. And that's a very good point. I mean, just to talk about my 8 second soundbite, by the way, if it wasn't 8 seconds that I got a response from, it wasn't worth putting on the radio. So I've got various stories like people like Barry Manilow, for example. I remember he was one of the first people I interviewed, and he was really tall, and I had to stick the microphone up in the air. I remember saying, how are you, Barry? How's it going? He's like, great. I got one word. It's like one word. They're not going to broadcast one word. So I just had to ask anything like, how was the recording? How's the recording going? Fine. I was like, tell me what happened when you were, you know, you had to just think on your feet and ask questions. But what I have found is if you just go for the easy way in is to go for the here and now. We talked about this in networking, Will. The easiest way to start an interview is just go for the easiest question to warm people up. Because if you start saying, so, you know, tell me about your upbringing, it's just too much. What about the political climate? You know, it's too much for your brain to be able to give you a good, meaningful answer. So all I remember is I used to ask one time, there was, do you know the singer Belinda Carlisle who sang?
Yeah, I used to like her a lot.
Heaven is a place on earth. Anyway, this is going to go public, but it doesn't matter because she's no friend of mine. One time I was asked to go interview Belinda Carlisle at a recording studio. And I think she was a little bit moody that she didn't really want to stop her recording. And anyway, I had all my recording equipment. I went to interview her and I was like, how are you? How's it going? She's like, fine. And she wouldn't give me more than a one word answer. So as a journalist, as somebody that needs to get this audio footage, I just kept asking and asking. I'm more or less asked the same question over and over again, so I knew I was listening. I was like, you could clip that together. So I was like, how's the recording going? She's like, yeah, really good. I was like, what's it like in the, you know, how many people are there? I just racked my brains and tried to get her to talk. And I really wanted something about London. Like, how's it in London? Because she was in the Maid of Elle Studios. How are you finding Maid of Elle Studios? How are you finding London? Well, I don't really go out. Oh, she didn't even say, that would even be a longer clip than a one word answer. She just wouldn't answer me. And then afterwards, the PR person said she complained about me because I asked her the same question 8 times. But I did actually get an 8 second soundbite from her because we just edited together one word. So it must have been like, hi, yeah, I am loving London or something, like edited together. But going back to the feeling question, Derek. So the reason why when you see sports interviews, when they go, how did it feel when you scored the goal? How did it feel? And you can see the footballers going, well, you know, the ball went in the back of the net and he kicked that and I kicked that. They tend to give you a very factual answer. But really what you really want them is like, I couldn't believe it. You want the reaction answer. But this is a question for you. So what do you think the worst question is to ask an audience? You can write in the chat box. What do you think the worst question is?
I'm just going to read out some of the chat box as well, Esther.
Hold that thought and we'll go back to it. But you read out the chat box while
we're thinking. It's quite mixed. We've got the positive people and we've got the not so positive people. Note my language there. So,
come on then, let's hear.
Excited, worried, hopeful, going to be our best year yet. Yeah, optimistic, balanced with concern. I feel like a new start, voyaging to the known, unknown. Sobered when I drive around. Optimistic, impatient. That's an interesting one. Calm, sanguine, more optimistic than otherwise. I think from March it will be okay. Exciting. Looking forward to spring. And that's probably it for a minute. I've just let Jane Gunn in the back end, so I was slightly distracted there, Esther, but let's do you want to have a quick look in there and see what's in there or we'll move on?
So my question to you is, what do you think the worst question to ask an audience is? And this is something that I've definitely found out from doing remote sessions like this as well, when you ask an audience a question, what do you think is a bad idea to ask an audience? Oh, Harry Simmons, who's Harry? Put your mic up. Where are you, Harry? What do you think the worst question is?
What do you think of it so far?
Is that what? Who asks that? Hands up if you've ever asked that. Oh, Harry, what do you think of it so far? How's it going, Harry? Give me some feedback so I can feel terrible about myself. Does anyone ask that? What do you think so far? What do you think of it so far? That's funny. Is that the worst question to ask? Who agrees with Harry? Put your reaction thumbs up. If you're watching a recording, you won't see the thumbs, but we can do live thumbs. What about this? Are you bored? Who's asked, are you bored? That's funny. Are you enjoying this? Oh, Nigel. Nigel, put your mic up. Where's Nigel? Where are you, Nigel? Nigel, what was yours?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, good job you had your mic up then. That actually,
I haven't quite synchronized the speed of unclicking in my mouth. It's discoordinated at the moment.
That's okay. That's good, Nigel. You're doing well. You're I can hear you loud and clear. The worst thing to ask an audience is, can you hear me at the back? That's a pretty bad one. Okay, so this is a tip for you. You know, one of the worst questions to ask an audience actually is, any questions? That's one of the worst questions to ask an audience in the world. I've written a blog about this and I'm happy to share that with you after. So Derek, remind me to send the Q&A. I've got the how to avoid Q&A tumbleweed, because most of my clients, they'll go to a conference and they might be bankers or lawyers and they speak at a conference. And then there's the Q&A where the host says, or they say at the end, any questions? Now, as a radio producer and after I did all my showbiz stuff and I've worked in television and radio, I absolutely know this from doing live radio at the BBC, when we had to get people to interact with the show for 3 hours every morning. You have to get people responding to questions. So you become very, very, very sensitive to how do you ask a question to get people thinking, to get people feeling, to get people interacting with you. And the worst question to ask is, any questions? Because nobody comes up with, even when I've been in the audience and I can think, you know, my brain's like pop, pop, pop. Even if I'm in a conference and they say, any questions? I think, my mind's gone blank.
A couple of things there, Esther. We talked about that last week. And I know that I've made that mistake quite often, of just being relaxed at the end of a session and saying, any questions? And then realizing what a stupid question that is, rather than I'll take questions now. But you talked about having phantom questions, didn't you, as well?
There's loads of strategies. So I can see here, Godfrey is already a step, you're always ahead of the game, Godfrey. You said you can get planted questions. Yes, okay, so there's a strategy. So obviously the any questions tumbleweed moment, you know it's coming, okay? So if you are going to be at a conference and you know the host is likely to say any questions and it's out of your control, absolutely you can plant questions. So sometimes we would have questions that we might have asked a few people earlier. We might have a few texts that we've actually asked real people, you know, what do they think of this? But what I noticed was that, you know, for example, we'd have a call-in show. And if you asked a really general question like, you know, call in, we're talking about, you know, trousers today. Call in if you're wearing trousers. And I remember there was one time, so I don't know why we're talking about fashion or something, but call in, you know, if you're wearing trousers, call in. Nobody's going to call in because they think, well, everyone wears trousers. There's nothing extraordinary about that. So you get no phone calls. But if you ask a question, for example, like, okay, do you own a pair of Rupert the Bear trousers? Or do you know somebody who has got a pair of Rupert the Bear trousers? Now, I am going to open that up to the floor. I'm going to ask you now, do you know somebody who wears Rupert the Bear style checked trousers? You know somebody who wears checked trousers. Okay, hands up if you know somebody who wears loud, checkered or bright. Okay, Amanda knows somebody. Who knows some? Carol knows somebody. who knows somebody that wears check trousers? Now, if you ask a specific question, maybe the whole audience can't answer that question. However, the people that can answer the question are much more passionate about the answer, so they're much more likely to share. And I can tell you, Will, one of the you can give me some responses now, Derek. Have you noticed any responses in the chat?
There's not many, really. Carol Robertson from Inverness knows somebody wears tartan trousers. That's probably not very unusual.
Well, that's in Inverness. and also they're probably wearing, they're more likely to be wearing a kilt and a sporran than tartan trousers.
Esther, in a minute, I think we're going to go into breakout rooms. If
that's yes, we are. Yes,
with you. So just I want to find out what's the worst question people hate being asked. And you're just going to summarize this and the best question for connecting and building rapport. So while I do the breakout rooms, will you
you set the breakout rooms and I'll talk about what we're going to do in the breakout rooms.
Fantastic.
But the takeaway from the specific question is, if you ask a question that's much, much more specific and is a potential story starter, you're much more likely to get better answers and stories. And that's really the takeaway there. But never ask any questions. It's too unspecific and too general, and your mind will go immediately blank. So you've got to feed some imagination to your audience. Okay, so breakout rooms. What we'd like to know is, what's your favorite question that you like asking? And what's your favorite question that you like answering? Because they're two different things, or are they the same question? What question do you love to ask? What question do you love to answer? And the other one is, what is your pet hate? What question do you really hate being asked? Or you might hate yourself for asking it, but it's mainly a question that you hate being asked, or when you're on TV, when you watch the journalist ask the sports person or whatever, what is your pet hate? I know you've got one, haven't you, Derek?
Oh, I hate it when they get stuck, the sports journalists get stuck and ask some really daft question. How did you feel when you scored that goal?
But now you know why they're asking. They want a feeling. They
Absolutely.
Want the feeling.
Okay, Esther, I'm going to put people into 10 breakout rooms. Whoever's name is the first, whoever's first name is the first in the alphabet in the group is the spokesperson, and we'll get through as many breakout rooms as possible. So I'm assigning you automatically. You'll be in a breakout room with somebody who will be very interesting to meet. So you're on your way now. I'm recording again.
Now.
So we'll go to room one first, which was Alex, David, and Peter. What were your comments, guys? Alex, you're muted.
It's the third mute of the show, Alex.
Just a second. I was pressing the space bar. It didn't work. So it should.
Oh, you're muted again, Alex.
There we go. Try that.
That's great.
So on the positive questions were things which allowed people just to open up. So, you know, you might ask somebody who you want to start a conversation with, what plans have you got for the weekend? Or any sort of question which asks them about themselves. A really good one, which I think came from one of our group, was, what do you do when you're not working? I thought that was a great question. And on the negative side, the ones which are maybe the worst questions are the confrontational questions. You know, questions, for example, which start with why, you know, why did you do that? Or that sort of thing can put you back up when you start a question. Another negative one was, can I pick your brains? And that's often people asking for some free stuff.
Can I pick your brains?
Can
you
I pick your brains?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant, Alex. Thanks.
On
to room two. That's Amy, Harry, and Philippa. That must be you, Amy.
It's me indeed. So the questions that we love asking, Harry loved asking, where are you from? He just finds it really fascinating to understand where people are from. And Philippa likes to ask, what is the biggest challenge you're facing now? Because she's a big problem solver and she wants to get an answer and be able to help people instead of just hearing, oh, everything's fine, which would be the answer if she would be asking, how's your business going? and the pet hates. Well, actually, my question is to ask people what brings them joy in life, or how do they fill up most of their time? Instead of asking what they do for a living, just ask them how they enjoy spending their time. So they were our three favourite questions. And in terms of pet hates, well, we talked about crossing boundaries and how personal you can get in opening conversations, which was really interesting. And Harry doesn't like it when people ask them about his academic qualifications. And Philippa doesn't like it if after 2 or 3 minutes of conversation, suddenly start talking about the weather. That's a big red flag for her, because she feels that that's it. They don't want to move on and they don't want to talk anymore. And my pet hate is when people aren't actually listening to your answers.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks, Amy. On to room three, which is Christine, Gregor and Jane. Over to you, Christine, unmuted.
Yes, well, in terms of getting people to chat, I was asking people what they do in their spare time or when they're not working, or asking about family, because family questions often get people to open up and engage. In terms of questions that we dislike, Gregor particularly disliked political questions. Sorry, my battery's going. Unfortunately, I left the room a bit precipitously because I pressed the wrong button.
No worries.
Gregor and Jane want to add anything. This isn't a question, but I can't stand it when people keep saying, stay safe, because first of all, it's an order to do something. And it's like, well, would you necessarily put yourself at risk anyway? But,
yeah. OK, thanks, Christy. I'm going to bring Will in here because Will and I have some strong views about family questions. Can you unmute, Will, and just comment on that for 10 seconds from a networking point of view? Unmute, Will.
Family is a fantastic topic, but when you ask the wrong person the wrong question on the wrong day, it causes a lot of upset. So my advice is never, ever, ever, ever ask, are you married or have you got children? But the way you can get around that is what some of you have just said, by asking people, what do you do in your spare time, or what was your latest holiday? If people have got significant others or children or partners or family, they'll say, we do this and we do that. And that way you found out. And that, so if someone said, oh, we took the kids to, that gives you license to talk about the kids. But when you ask people who can't have children or who just lost a loved partner, I think it can rather upset their evening or their afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Will. And as Amy said, she hates people who aren't listening. And sometimes you can suss stuff out like that, Amy, can't you, by just the mood. And what we don't want to do when we're asking questions is change people's mood and state, which we can do very easily with the wrong question. Thanks for that, Will. Thanks, Christine. Now it's on to room four, Godfrey, Grace and Richard. That's Godfrey unmuted.
Yes, thanks, everybody. First of all, great little trio group. And I was given license to say at the beginning, this is a very general breakout question, because our answers would hugely depend on whether it was chatting up somebody in a bar, your boss, work, a conference, a whole host of different situations. So it would depend. That's a banker's answer as well, just for Derek. But on the positive side, we loved the word being curious and all the words to do with finding out and being curious. And Richard was actually quite thought-provoking by saying he was always interested in getting a thoughtful response about people's feelings and thoughts rather than just facts. On the pet hate question was, tell me something about yourself. And I think we also discussed the meaning of life, but it came back to, in what situation are we finding ourselves, and we need to be flexible and adaptable.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thanks, Godfrey. On to room five, which is Carol, Mark and Mary. You'll need to unmute, Carol. You can do it by hitting the button.
Okay, so a bit of overlap happening with the questioning now, but we've found that if the questions were too wide or open, then it made them more difficult to answer. So no parameters about what you want to know about when you're asking the question, such as just at what age were you doing something, or giving some, as Esther said, some structure to the question. And so the question's too open-ended, difficult to answer. And one of the questions that was a pet like for Mark and a pet hate for me is, what's for dinner? That's because he doesn't mind what's for dinner as long as it, somebody else makes it. And I like to ask the question, what's for dinner? And nobody ever tells me the answer. So then I have to decide every night. So it could be an either or, like or hate. Moving to the best questions, I like the, what are you passionate about, to really find out what makes people tick. And Mary thought that might be a bit overwhelming for some people because they might prefer to be asked, what do you enjoy doing? And so we thought it was important to choose the vocabulary to suit the situation or the person, and that knowing your audience was very useful to get in the background of that. So that's about that.
Brilliant, Carol. Thanks. Esther, we got a couple of things in the chat box there. Something about marriage. I can't see what it is, but it might be worth commenting on now. Can you see it?
Never use husband and wife. Better to use the word spouse. This is from Kevin. If they say they're married, and only if they initiate the issue of marriage. And they also macho sports talk with a mixed audience that may or may not like sports. That is a big no. You're absolutely right. It's a big no-no. If you're in mixed, it could be culturally mixed, as in US and UK, talking about, if you're getting really into sport, it can be very alienating. I've got quite a funny story. One of my bosses, he was going on about, he goes, oh yeah, and Dickie this. And I thought he was talking about his son. I was like, yeah. So, you know, where'd you go with your family, you know, with your kids then? And I asked him about his kids and he went, I'm gay. He's my partner. It was like a real, you know, absolutely, it's that fact, you know, don't assume, never, yeah, ever assume. Because you might, luckily he had a good sense of humour and he told everyone that I asked him. When she thought I was heterosexual, huh? But it was, you know, that's Will Kintish, you know, do not go to, is it religion, money, politics and marital status.
Well, it was Brexit. Brexit was a dodgy one, but maybe that's not now. It might be. And COVID's a dodgy one as well. So I think we might have to be careful with some of those. Now we go to the west coast of Scotland to Amanda, Esther and Jill.
Amanda and Jill are so brilliant. They had some brilliant insights. So please go ahead.
Amanda, Jill had a really brilliant question that she likes, which is, how would you do that? So it's questions that really ask your advice. So we thought that was good. Our group was very good at what we didn't like being asked. And it was those awful interview questions that ask you about your weaknesses and ask you to be really self-critical about yourself. And we all obviously really struggle, or most of us struggle talking about ourselves in general. And even if you're prepared, those questions always seem to stump us in one way or another.
Jill had a good weakness though. What was Jill's weakness?
I don't know, sorry.
Earrings and blue cheese.
That's right, yes. So yes, Jill answered that by saying earrings and blue cheese. So another pet hate is when interviewers ask two questions at the same time, or generally are just given a statement. Not being listened to is a big no-no for us, really puts us off. And being asked questions that are really obvious. You know, why are you asking me that? So, over to you, Esther.
we had a lot of fun in our rooms. I hope you all had fun in your rooms. It's because you actually get to know people really well when you have these sorts of discussions. And we've all got similar kind of feelings about silly questions when people ask two, not one question, and when they don't even ask a question. But thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Esther, you said I could interrupt you, so that's what.
Yeah, no, I was going to carry on. You carry on, Derek.
Because I would like to go through all the rooms. So we go to Eva in New Mexico, John in Southampton, and Charlene in the middle of England, I think. So Eva, can you unmute yourself?
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Eva. Go for it.
All right. Of course, the question came up, The comment came up that the worst question to ask is, let us know what you think. And essentially that was the underlying question for the room. What do you think? What is the question? Am I making any sense?
Yep.
Yes. But I can take pretty much any question, but what I have noticed is that I may have a problem with that reaction to my answer. Does that make sense? Let me give you a quick example. I'm an Estonian living in the United States, and it's very rare that I come across somebody who actually knows where Estonia is, but I do have an accent. So I get this question a lot, where you're from. And I already know that if I say where I'm from, it doesn't tell a whole lot. So I tell them I'm from Estonia. And then they ask, where is that? And then I tell them that's in Eastern Europe. And then they will tell me, I could tell, I'm very good at accents. I could tell that you're a Russian. And that's what I just, and what do you say to that? Just, you know, I've learned I can just nod my head. So that question, when somebody asks me, where are you from? I feel there is a whole line of tiny little staggers that go up my spine.
Well, we didn't know you were a Russian, and we know how much the Estonians like the Russians, so we better not go there because this has been being recorded as well. So
that's the political question Gregor doesn't like. So, yeah. Gregor, we will avoid that topic altogether for you.
That's a really good point, Eva. Thanks. Was there anything else to add? Because I'm concerned about the time.
Yes. Anybody from my team or from my room, please unmute your mic, and if I miss something, please.
Charlene and I both shared the same tactic of if we wanted to leave the conversation, we could move round to what we did. And then as soon as we said we were accountants, the other person walked away. So that was a great tactic. We share that one. But I enjoyed the breakout. I think the breakout sessions are good, even though, you know, ignoring the question you're asked to do, it's just great to network. And the more we do this, Derek, I think the better, because we all get to know each other a little.
Okay, thanks for that, John. We'll move on to room 8. Charlene, if you've got anything to add, put it in the chat box, can you? Can I ask, it's Tony, Martin and Tony, two Tonys. Can I ask you to be very brief, guys? I'd like to get through all three groups we've got left.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks, Tony.
So the question is, what do you think about? And then the subject, because that then engages the other person's opinion. Martin said, could you tell me more? So that leads on. And then Tony said, what keeps you up at night? To which I answered, my bladder, but that didn't account. So that engenders emotion and a solution. The worst question, how do you feel? Any other business opens up a can of worms. And that was it, because we didn't have time to explore Tony or my answers to that question. Next.
Thanks, Tony. That was brilliant. And then on to Duncan, Nigel and Will. That's Duncan, if you could unmute from Brighton.
Yep. Okay. So our WASH questions were, how's business? And Nigel's in project management. And his WASH question is, how are things going? So that was our two WASH. In terms of questions we like to be asked, Will and I both had a similar question we like to be asked. Will's was, what made you change from being an accountant to what you're doing now? Mine was, how did you make that transition? And Nigel went for, what's your interest in data?
Brilliant. Thanks, thanks, Duncan. And on to room 10, which is Adam, Betty and Kevin. Adam, if you could unmute, that would be great, please. No, that doesn't seem to be working.
Hi, Derek. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Adam.
Oh, smashing. Sorry about that. Me and technology aren't working very well today. So in our room, we have Kevin and Betty. I'll be very brief on these. A couple of the questions, favourite questions to ask is, tell me something that's not about you, that's not on your resume. So really to open up people, that was an excellent one. And also, tell me about your business model before February. and has changed post-February? Because that's obviously very curious questions, people. From the ones we don't like, so I'll just switch straight over to those.
Yeah, be quick, Adam, because there's something wrong with your sound. No, it's because there's something wrong with your sound.
It's tell me something about yourself and not being listened to.
Okay.
Brilliant. I'll cut off if my sound's not very good.
Yeah, no, thanks, Adam. I just wanted to comment on one of those questions that I really hated, which was what keeps you up at night? And the reason I hated it was when I was in Barclays, I was waking up at 3 and 4 in the morning with something keeping me awake, so with stress. So I didn't want to be reminded of that because it immediately changed my state. But we've all got our own pet hates, actually. Over to you, Esther.
So I think, let's all vote on this. Do we think that the worst question to be asked is, tell me something about yourself? Thumbs up if that is in your top three questions. Tell me something about yourself. But nothing specific, nothing about, you know, where you were brought up. But I think that is absolutely top marks. And I think that was excellent. I really like the breakout rooms, Derek. I think they're a really good way. They are a really good way of networking. And everyone we were just chatting away there. We didn't want to come out of it, actually. So well done for that. So questions, are you going to ask? So now I think
No, before we do anything, Esther, we're going to go switch over to Jane Gunn because because Jane is a mediator and a brilliant mediator. She gets involved in all sorts of mediations. And Jane, where are you? I can't see you actually, but yeah, there you are. Okay.
Hi, Jane.
Jane, give us an overview on the questions that you ask, because you have to be careful, don't you, that everyone doesn't walk out of the mediation before.
Yeah, so I've just typed in the chat box because I've run mediation training as well. And in teaching someone the art of questioning, one person used the very, very, very open question, talk to me. it's like, talk to me about what? So we teach, very quickly telling you, you've probably talked about this, but we teach in mediation and we use in mediation open questions to gather information. Then we use closed questions to check understanding. Am I getting you right? Is that what you meant? Am I correct? Hypothetical questions. So what if questions? What if we did that? What if you did that? That's testing solutions. What would the outcome be if you did that? And then challenging questions to test reality. You know, are you really sure about that? So challenging people. But one of the things I said to Derek earlier, one of the styles of mediation is what we call transformative mediation. And that's designed to get people to do their own problem solving. So one thing people love in general is for somebody else to take responsibility and solve their problem. And that's what you get if you go to a lawyer or to a judge. One of the things we're doing in mediation is saying to people, find your own solution, work it out, work through the problem, work out what solution you want. So one of the key questions we ask there then is, what outcome would you like? And then not being too specific in that you're not being directive in your questioning. So directing people to where you think they might want to go or where you think you would guide them. So being very non-judgmental in the way you use your questioning to leave people open to find their own way. And that can be quite challenging when you're a professional with a professional opinion about their case. So those are some of the tips from me about questioning from a mediator's perspective.
Well, I think we could have you on another show, Jane, and we could explore that a bit further. I think that was a quick overview of a 3-week course there.
So I'd like to ask you a question, Jane. What's your personal favourite question to ask and your favourite question to be asked you?
Well, I think that question about what outcome do you want is a very pertinent one, because I often find that people haven't thought about that. They'll come to this process and they don't really know what their expectations are or where they think they're going. So that's a really good question to ask people. What was the other one, Esther?
What's your favourite question that people ask? What would you like to be asked? What do you most like to be asked?
I think one of the questions that came up earlier about what do you enjoy doing? I don't want somebody to ask me what do you do, but what do you enjoy doing? Because then I can talk about aspects of my work because I don't have a really big distinction between work and play, really. So then you can sort of talk about what you like to do. I mean, I like to mediate and eat chocolate at the same time, really. So
yeah. I was gonna, one of my questions is, what do you like doing in life?
Yes.
What do you like doing in life?
I know.
That's quite a good question, because that could go anyway.
Exactly. I like to combine, you know, life and work and fun all at the same time. So
excellent.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Jane. We'll have you back on. And in the chat box, people are saying that this is something we should explore more, which is great. So we'd love to do that. So I think we'll do that maybe in February. And I'd like to bring Will in, Jane, you again, and Godfrey in, because they're at different parts of the spectrum.
I'm from Tony. It says, great meeting. I love the breakout discussions. I interview people on podcasts. This gives me good ideas and thoughts for updating my questions.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
And Derek, do you provide a note of what some of the things people have come up with today? Is that one of the outcomes?
I've saved the chat, Jane. Yep, I've saved the chat. So yeah, that's fine. Guys, I'm going to close this down now, and then we're going to stay on and answer any questions that you want. But I'm going to just close the recording down. So thanks,
Derek,
for joining us.
Derek, before you close the recording, can I pay homage to Tim, who's not on tonight? He came up with one of the best questions, and I use it all the time. Whenever you're meeting people, wherever you are, what's the best thing that's happened to you today?
Yes,
that's a good one. Love that question.
Very good question.
Even if you go into a restaurant or a hotel or wherever you are, I love that. And I wanted it recording in case Tim listens to the recording. It's a thank you to Tim.
Okay, that's great, Will. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Derek.
Okay, guys, thanks very much. Give us all a big wave before I close the recording down. And thanks for joining us. See you next week. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like the recording, like the podcast, and we'll see you shortly. Thanks for joining us.